You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, our guest this evening and our shapeshifter this evening, and what a way to end the show, right? Bringing you some of the best and the biggest names in this game. It is Naledi Shange, who is the digital news editor for Times Live, a former journalist and author of Killer Cop, the Rosemary Ndlovu story. And I'm very excited because she's already on the line. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Tapil, and good evening to your listeners. Thank you so much for having me on the show this evening.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. How are you?
I am super. I'm blessed. How are you?
I am very blessed, very blessed. Very excited. Been waiting to have this conversation. Please tell me you had a good day.
It's been a good one. I've been looking forward to this interview.
Same
I'm still
here.
Working, being still working until 10 o'clock, while other people are out enjoying festive.
I was about to ask you if you are still kind regarding and all those sort of stuff.
We are not going anywhere. We shall be kind regarding until
Oh no, yeah. It's a good thing you love what you do, right? Because imagine if you are kind regarding on something you don't love, it would be a disaster.
That's what I'm saying. We're the blessed ones, but we get to do this
exactly
every single day, so we're not complaining. It's okay.
In fact, I wanted to complain the other day that I'll be working throughout the December and into January while other people are just staying. But I remember, no man, we actually love what we do, right? So that's a blessing on its own.
And besides that, you know, in this economy when people are still praying for jobs and jobs are so hard to come by, so I'm saying we are the blessed ones
definitely.
Reporting for duty.
The good thing is that we are holding the economy, right, while everyone is going away. We are here, you know. Keeping things going.
Somebody has to do it.
Somebody has to do it.
Yeah. We are the chosen ones.
Definitely the chosen generation. Thank you so much, ma'am, for taking the time. Really appreciate it. And I can tell you, we're not going to keep you more than you should. I understand that you are at work. But for people who may not know you, let's go back a little bit. How do you introduce yourself when people ask you, who is Naledi Shange? I mean, people would know you, but for people who maybe live under a rock, how do you explain yourself? Who are you?
Okay. It's actually so weird how that is such a difficult question.
I know,
but
right?
It's very tough. Naledi is the digital news editor for Times Live.
Yeah.
So I'm a journalist turned news editor. I am a published author of a book that came out a couple of months ago, Killer Cop. And I'm also a documentary producer and I'm a voiceover artist. I've done some voiceover work even for AWR.
Yes.
and I'm a mother of two beautiful children, twins that are 4 years old, Kanye and Kaya, the light of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm a God-fearing woman. God has done some amazing things in my life. I was born in Benoni, grew up in Witbank, studied journalism, and my path has taken me everywhere.
Sure.
That's Naledi in a nutshell.
Goodness me, that's amazing. Yes, I was about to brag about you doing our voiceovers here, but we've done
that. I beat you to it, I'm sorry.
You stole my thunder right there. I was about to say boom, 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 boom. You know, do my thunder right there. But, you know, it's better from the person, you know. It sounds better from him because people then can relate to the voice that they hear in some of our, of course, jingles and some of our things that we do. Where were you born?
I was born in Benoni. The East Rand. My parents are both from the East Rand. So that's another thing. While people are going back home in Makaya over festive, for me, in Makaya is right here in the East Rand in Joburg.
Guess what? High. We are both East Randers, you and I. So don't worry. We're
really?
Both going back to, also in the East Rand.
Okay. That's why. I understand.
You know, exactly.
Because
you
know, of such,
exactly.
But I grew up in Witbank. I'm matriculated in Witbank.
Yeah.
And that's just outside of the East Rand, but in Mpumalanga.
Yeah.
And then from there, I moved to Pretoria, studied at the Tshwane University of Technology at the Soshanguve campus. And
Fantastic. I was about to say, by the way, that they say all good things come from the East. So you know, we Easterners, you know, good things only come from the East.
I am in agreement.
You know, look at that. I mean, what else do you want to say? Eh? Yeah, all good things come from the East.
It's like two royals from right here in the East. Bona.
We are the city of the Etropolis. You know, we are the only ones that have that. Mamela. They can't help us.
You know.
Back in the days, how was it? And what were some of the challenges, particularly socio-economic challenges that you saw or were exposed to?
Okay. I grew up, as I said, in Witbank, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And I think growing up in a middle-class family where both my parents were blessed with employment, I can say that I had a good upbringing.
Okay.
Whereby I can't share challenges of saying that I had to walk long distances to school or I had substandard education.
Yes.
But in the area that I grew up, one of the things that was a challenge back then and remains a challenge even today is Witbank is a community that is rife with drugs.
Yes.
Nyaupe, I remember it actually mushroomed in Witbank before I heard of it rolling out in other towns and things like that.
Oh, okay.
Although we have Eskom right there and all sorts of other coal and other businesses there, there's very high unemployment rates in our communities. And those are things that still exist even today, although we are at the heart of electricity and all of that, the city of coal, as Malahleni is known. But those are things that I grew up seeing, and even now it's still a problem in my community.
That's. I mean, I was in Witbank, I think a year ago, just doing some work there. But I was shocked myself that they actually experienced load shedding. And electricity is just here, guys, like next door. You literally can walk into the, you know, and be like, and it's so dire, that side.
It is. The thing is, with Witbank, I think they experienced stage 8 load shedding before we even knew there was something called stage 8 load shedding.
Definitely.
You go into the community as well, they have issues that, with water. To this day, you cannot really drink tap water from Witbank because of all the pollution and things like that. It's terrible when it comes to that as well. It's a town that shows that it's still got a lot of potential to it. So we see a lot of businesses moving to that side. But when it comes to the municipality, service delivery issues remain troublesome. Yeah.
Sure. Middle class, how has that shaped you to maybe who you are today? Do you see any linkages?
Do I see any linkages with the middle class?
With growing up in a middle class family and, you know, not really. Because some people would say their backgrounds almost, you know, always affects who they become at the end of the day, whether good or bad, right? And we all don't want to be experiencing a bad background and all those sort of stuff. But there are people maybe who might not have grown in a middle class family, right? And that's quite rare in the South African context, because you find that the majority or what's a proliferation is people who are growing up in very dire communities. But growing up in a middle class family, what does that look like? I grew up in a poor family. I was like, yo, if you ask me to go back, and easy, you know, those type of things. But, you know, you take that background and you look at where you are today, and you can thank God to say we had parents that were really, really, despite the socioeconomic challenges that they were faced with around, and apartheid being one of those big things that really made our parents to not even access opportunities, but they sailed through. And here we are, you know, living today much better than what we were back then. So your experience, how has that shaped you?
You're absolutely correct in everything that you've said. Taking it back to a more personal level even, right? I grew up in a home, for example, where there was both a mother and a father. And to this day, they've been in marriage for over 40 years. So I'm somebody who believes greatly in the foundation of marriage and all of that as like the core, God's intention with what it was with mankind, right? In terms of what my parents provided, as I said, you know, like being around my parents, they would share stories of how difficult life had been for them. For example, my father would tell you about how he started working when he was in primary school doing gardens and things like that. And he promised himself that his children would never have to go through that.
Yeah.
And he fulfilled those promises. And I think it's the same thing that I have done now, that from where my parents have left off, I've picked up the baton to try and give better to my own children, you know. So I think it puts a certain pressure on you whereby you know that you have to do better than the last generation. You know, the mark has been set at a level where you want to see your kids going to even better schools. You want to have them have access to better opportunities, even a simple home that you give them, you know. It puts a lot of pressure on you. I'm grateful for that foundation that I've had. I've seen what it is that one can do with determination, with God, and with a solid family foundation.
Ah, fantastic. So, do you go back to Witbank?
Yeah, the parents still are that side. Okay. They are between Benoni and Witbank. Parents are still that side.
and what is what is it like when you now go back at this time, this age, you know, that you're at? I mean, do you do it more than once? I'm just referring to what does it feel like every time you go there?
It depends on what I go back for.
Yeah.
Seeing the township that I grew up in deteriorate. That's one of the things that it's saddening, really. You go there and you see how life has gone down in the community, and you go back to your life in Joburg, in Benoni, where things are completely different.
Yeah.
For example, I was there a couple of months ago where my next door neighbor, who was 13 years old, was shot dead during a service delivery protest for electricity. This is my next door neighbor, you know. So it you just feel as though, as one person, you cannot do it. You cannot fix an entire municipality or city on your own. It's heartbreaking to see, but you come across some members of the community who still have hope, who still want to do good things for the community, who still have hope in us as people who grew up there, to have a vision to change things around all over again. So
But it's a balbulale, I suppose. We hold on to that. Did you want to always study journalism?
Oh, Tabelo, yes.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I don't know. Journalism chose me. No,
oh, it chose
no.
you. Okay.
You know how we grow up and they teach you that math and science are the subjects that you have to have.
Yes.
So we even went to matric with math and science, and we stumbled across with 40% pass.
Yeah,
you know?
My daughter's school.
But exactly.
Yeah.
But languages were always my powerful thing, where I got your 80s and 90%. So I kind of leaned towards what I knew best, which was languages. And so that's why I say journalism chose me.
Yeah,
I'm curious by nature, love people. You can't get me to stop once I start talking.
Yeah.
So that's why I went into journalism. It was a natural thing to do.
I see. So you chose, and how were your university years at TUT?
Nothing like what I expected.
Okay.
You know, you leave home having a certain mindset of what university is going to be like.
Yeah.
You're looking forward to the life in university. And as a shocker, I was told, no, journalism is now given at the Soshanguve campus. And now you were thinking, I'm going to be in Pretoria, where everything is happening in Pretoria. And then you are thrown in another township now, Soshanguve, where it's completely different.
Yeah.
And people from all sorts of backgrounds. I
was,
I remember sharing a res with four, in the res room, there were four people. We had people from Limpopo, we had people from Nelspruit that I was living with, different cultures, different languages. I remember hearing Tsonga for the first time, and I was thinking, these people are always praying in tongues. But no, it was just Tsonga.
Yes, it's a language.
So, yeah, but it was beautiful, though. I think that even taught me even more how to relate with people of different creeds and all of that. So it was good.
Oh.
It shaped me as well.
Fantastic. Your first job, do you remember it?
Yes.
Ah.
2010.
Yeah.
ENCA.
Ah.
2010 ENCA. Got a job just before I finished varsity.
Okay.
As an intern earning 3.5, and I thought it was the best thing since anything.
Yeah.
So my journey's taken me quite.
Okay.
2010.
And
3.5.
And then from there, what happened? Where did it mushroom to or morph into? I mean, today you are the digital editor. Did you even think that you'll be there?
Not at all. For me, I always thought that my journalism career wanted me on the streets, chasing stories, getting to meet people on the ground.
Yes.
But, you know, as a person, you grow.
Yeah.
As I said, I started at ENCA as an intern. I moved to bulletin writing.
Yeah.
And after 2 years, I moved to what was called the South African Press Association,
yeah.
which was the national news organization of the country,
yeah.
where I got to do some amazing stories yeah. from the Oscar Pistorius trial, Nelson Mandela's death, Radovan Krecha, who's,
sure.
you know, a notorious gangster, all of these big cases I got
yes.
to work on. A couple of years later, moved over to News 24, was there for a year, moved over to the SABC, and now I'm with Times Live and the Sunday Times, which is the biggest publication
yes.
in the country.
Ah.
And it's just been God. It's just been God moving me from one level to
yes.
the next.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you're basically a stories person. You love telling stories.
I love telling stories. Sure. I love telling people stories. I love documenting history.
Yes.
And that's why I feel journalism is so important. We're part of the people who write the first drafts
yes.
of history. And
yes.
Once we put things out there, they are there forever, for
yeah.
as long as the internet is there. So
yeah.
that's why I feel what we do is so crucial. And
yeah.
the words that we write reach people worldwide. So, yeah, I'm a stories
fantastic.
Person, definitely.
Fantastic. Now, with the benefit of, I don't know why politicians like saying that, with the benefit of hindsight. It's almost like always, it's a coded thing. It's like martyr, you know, martyr and hindsight. When you start politics, those are the two things you learn at first year and second year, if you ever go to university.
Okay.
But with the benefit of hindsight, what is the one challenge so far in your career that you look back at? Or maybe a story that you found, sure, this was challenging?
In terms of my career, it's hard being a young Black female occupying the position that I'm occupying, position that has mostly been occupied by white males.
Yes.
But the pressure doesn't only just come from people who are in the same space as me, but even as junior
yeah.
Black reporters who are looking
sure.
at me, who
sure.
are hoping that I will bring about change
yes.
and all of that, who have high expectations of what it is I will do for them in this role. It's quite hard. It comes with its pressures. You can't fail because you have an entire, you know, like it's like you're representing women.
Yeah.
You're representing Black women. You're
yeah.
representing young women. So it's been hard, but I've been blessed with a great support system in my workspace.
Mm.
In terms of stories that I've done, I've come across a lot of challenges, Tabelo.
Mm.
As I said, you go into people's homes, they share their stories with you.
Mm.
And at times as a journalist, you don't even have the power to help.
Yes.
You are there to share
yes.
their stories with the rest of the world
yeah.
with the hope that they will get the right help
mm.
if their stories are told. And it doesn't always work out that way. And it eats as you as a
yeah.
person. As
yeah.
a journalist, it eats as you, where you feel as though you're not bringing any change to people.
Yeah.
And that is the whole purpose of us doing the
yeah.
things that we do. So, yeah.
Sure. What then keeps you motivated in such instances where you look at the story and like, yo, I wish I could do more, but I suppose my hands are tied and this requires maybe a minister or someone to intervene, you know, whatever the case might be. How do you motivate yourself in such instances?
The best thing that you can do outside of writing the story is to connect your people with the right resources,
yes.
connect them with the right channels
yes.
to assist them with whatever it is that they may need. For example, in the book that I was writing, I had gone to Bushbuck Ridge where I met family members of Rosemary and Flo, and some of them were in a very dire state there. And I was thinking to myself, I'm going to spend days with these people, sitting there, allowing them to pour their hearts out to me. And at the end of the day, I walk away, leaving them in very poverty-stricken situations.
Sure, sure.
And the best thing that I can do at the time is connect them with social development that can assist. Yes, you may assist with groceries here and there, but it's not sustainable in the long run. So what you can do is connect them with the people who will be able to give them
yeah.
assistance.
Yeah,
it's the best that you can do at that
sure.
time. Yeah.
Yeah. And the high point,
yeah.
We don't want to talk about the morosing stuff. You know, there must be some
yeah.
one or two high points. I'm like, yo, I don't regret doing what I do.
There've been a lot,
yeah.
But I think the one that comes to mind right now
yeah.
is the one that comes from this book. As I
yes,
said,
yes.
I covered the case of Rosemary Ndlovu,
yeah.
the police officer who was killing her family members for insurance and all of
yes.
that. And the high point was actually publishing a book. sure. on it. You know, having a story that I had written turn into a book
yeah.
was something that was so special to me. And yeah. I remember giving the book to some of the family members, and they even thanked me for saying, "You have ensured that our story and our family name will never die
sure.
through this book." So that was the sure. highlight. I think that is definitely the highlight of my career. It's really not meeting people that are famous, because you get to meet people who are yes, famous, politicians, yes. celebrities, and all of that. But for me, it's just touching the regular man on the street that has more impact than any of that. So yeah,
sure, that's amazing. Sure. Are journalists creative people? I hear that it's a creative, writing is a creative thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say we are creative. Okay. Although I'm very careful with how I say that, because yes. people will say journalists are liars, which is not the case. But
okay.
we have a role to take you there and transport you there
yeah.
without you even seeing it.
Yes.
Especially if you are a print or digital journalist, yeah. You use words to paint yes. a picture, to tell somebody's story.
Yeah.
Unlike people who are on TV who have like 2 minutes to take you there visually.
Mm.
So you need to be able to describe something as simple as anything and let your reader see it when they read it. So
yeah,
definitely we need to be creative people.
Oh, fantastic. You've collected a lot of accolades across your journey in journalism. How does that mm-hmm. make you feel every time you have to go collect another one?
You know, Tabela, this would actually shock you.
Yeah.
But in my entire career, I've never entered for any awards yeah. ceremony. And there's a reason for that.
Okay.
And that's because the stories are never about me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I feel like I tell people's stories and they're not mine.
Mm.
I'm sharing something else for somebody else on behalf of somebody else.
Mm.
And because of that, I think one of my managers, actually, one of my mentors, I shouldn't actually even call a manager, one of my mentors said to me, "How do I go and take grace for something that somebody else has done?" And for me, it always stuck. That's why I say a story is never about me or my byline, but it's about the people that I'm talking about. So, it's not about you.
It's not about you. Yeah. It can always get to our heads, you know, and we forget.
And
we make things about us and the whole thing goes away. There's a young person that maybe wants to be a journalist. What would be your advice?
Oh. You have to do it for the passion. You have to love people. You have to be passionate about people and people's stories, because journalism is not a career that is financially rewarding.
Mm.
And unless you are doing it for the right reasons, you would want to go back to university a few years just to study another course altogether. And you've got to have a sensitive heart, you know?
Sure.
There's nothing as heartbreaking as walking into a family that has into the house of a family that has just lost a loved one. And you are there just to tell their story. You need to have empathy for people. You need to know how to have those skills. And those are things that you don't learn in any university. It's things that you have in your nature. So journalism, that's what I'm saying. It's not something that can even be taught at school. Yes, you go there to learn the theories and all of that. But you just need to have a heart for people, but it's a lovely career to be in.
It's a lovely career to be in. So there you go, young people who want to get into the space. It's a lovely career. Let's talk about money, ma'am. It's a beautiful and a very important topic that I love personally, money. So let's
really?
Get into it. Yeah, I do. between you and I, think that's why they chose me for this show. Like, hey, this one
okay.
and money. Yeah, he likes money. So.
I need to get you to come and coach me when it comes to money, because you're.
I think you definitely said I loan him my lintos. So let's get into
your
that.
Ways, Tabelo. Yes.
How do you define your relationship with money, broadly speaking? Is it toxic? Is it good? Do you love it? Is it growing? Is it changing? How do you see it?
Very complicated.
Is it another entanglement? Please, hope it's not another entanglement.
I am trying to maintain this relationship with money. I'm understanding that it's a relationship. Love me and come, you know.
Yes.
But it's a tough one. And I can say that in I learned a lot of skills along the years,
yes.
but not being taught good relationship skills with money
yeah.
has come back to bite me yeah. later in life.
Yeah.
I made a lot of mistakes when yeah. it comes to finances in my youth.
Yeah.
Buying things, cars, when I was only earning 8,000 Rand and it needs 3,000 Rand, for example, you know? Mm. And you pay for that. You pay for those decisions later in life
yes.
when you live off credit cards and you live yes. off this and you live off that. But I'm trying to fix my relationship with money. One yeah. thing that I love about money is that it's in credit scores, credit profiles yeah. and all of that. It's always an opportunity to fix
yes.
your relationship yeah. with such. So yeah,
yeah,
my relationship with money, it's growing better with time, with age. As I educate myself yes. more about money, I do better in that space.
Ah, so, fantastic. Yeah. And what would be the one lesson then that you would share with maybe young people who are studying out? Because it's almost like a common thing within our community as well, and more especially that you get that first job. I tell you, same thing with me, car. I was like, moto. That's the first thing that I thought about. But you then learn, maybe that was not the best lesson, best way to actually yes. look at this money thing. What would be the one advice for a young person studying out on money?
Take your time and save.
Mm.
Save as much as you can. Do not rush into debt. It is really not worth it. Tapelo, one of the mistakes that I made, as I was saying earlier,
yeah.
I was earning 8,000 Rand as a journalist starting out my first year working.
Mm.
I got a car where I was paying 3,000 Rand, including insurance. Sure. I was living in a flat where I was paying about 4,000. And now how else do you survive for the rest of the month when it's like already 7 point something has already gone to those two things? Therefore, you live off credit cards and you live off, you know, and it's a never-ending cycle.
Never-ending cycle.
Do not make the mistakes that we made back then. Save as much as you can. Try to get things cash if possible and live within your means. Live below your means if you can.
Exactly.
Make sure that, you know, like live like you don't have money.
Yeah.
But at the same time, enjoy money. Money is meant to work for you as much as you work for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So, yeah, it's, you just need to strike a balance between
the
two.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And it's a very tight balance, eh? Very, very tight balance. But we need to strike it. In broad terms, your book, Killer Cop, The Rosemary Story, for people who may... maybe a preamble to it, and where can they find the book? What is the book about? What were you exploring, and maybe where can they find it?
Okay. The book is about Rosemary Ndlovu, who was a police officer based at the Tembisa Police Station, was arrested in 2018 after it was found that she had killed her family members as well as her boyfriend in order to cash out on insurance policies, right? And so I had covered the trial at the time. I was a reporter. I covered the trial and I had decided to go out and try to find some of her family members who could tell me what it is that made Rosemary Ndlovu who she is. Was it greed? Was it just, you know, a desire to have money? And those were the kind of answers that I got. Some people were saying she had a gambling problem. Others were saying she just never liked to be broke. She liked nice things, but wasn't prepared to really work for them. And she saw insurance policies as a way out. And other people were like, no, it's a curse that came from back in the day. Her mother knows about this curse. She's not even acting out of her own accord. And so the book takes us there. It takes us through all of these elements and it introduces us to the people who died as well at her hands so that she could cash in on these insurance policies. And so, yeah, the book is available at all exclusive books as well as on Takealot. And yeah, just major bookshops.
Fantastic, fantastic. As we round up, like I said, I don't want to keep you too long. I know you're still at work. going back to your younger self, what would you say to your younger self if I suppose you look back everything you're like, if I told myself this while I was still young?
Sure. You are enough. You possess all the strength that you need to go forward. And nothing that is in front of you will prevent you from getting to where you are meant to be. Whatever hurdle it is, you have the strength to get through it. It's not going to kill you. And you are made in God's image. And you should never lose sight of that. That is where your power lies. That is what I would tell the young and the lady.
Sure. You are enough. Okay, that touched me as well. You are enough. And 10 years from now, where is Naledi going, or where we will see it? Definitely we'll be calling you back for an interview. I can tell you that, man, 10 years from now. But okay. where is Naledi 10 years from now?
Naledi 10 years from now is in a good place financially. Extremely yeah. good place financially.
Good.
She's in that house that she wants to be in.
Good, yes.
The kids, the twins are in an excellent school.
Yes.
Utah, yes. Please, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
They are living the life that Naledi is praying for.
Yeah.
Right, for
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Naledi has written a couple more books.
Okay. Okay.
And she has mentored a couple of more
nice.
Young females to nice. Follow in her footsteps.
Sure.
And she's investing in those young girls as well.
Yeah.
And the lady's happy.
It's happy.
The lady's in a good space.
Yeah.
She's in a good, you know, she's in a good space
yeah.
emotionally. She's in a good space. Even with her walk with God, she's happy where she is.
Ah,
yeah.
Sure. That's amazing. From... That's amazing. And what would
where be... are you 10 years from now, Tapelo, as a by the way?
You get it. I didn't expect that one. Oh, wow. Goodness me. I didn't expect that one. 10 years from now. Sure. 10 years from now. Yeah. I think I'm also in a good space. You know, I'm kind of working towards a few things right now that I hope 10 years from now will put me in a space where I can actually go and live in an island. I actually want to go and live in Maldives. You know,
oh,
that's
wow.
that's my dream, to just permanently go to Maldives and live in Maldives. I can broadcast from there, you know, and then all those
okay,
sort of stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I would actually love to go and live in Maldives and just experience island life, and maybe even permanently
right.
live there, like I said, and all that. So right now, busy with school and all those sort of stuff, just to make sure we build that foundation. That can maybe give us an opportunity to go and live in Maldives one of these days. But yeah, that's where I would love to be.
From your lips to God's ears.
To God's ears, definitely. Indeed, God listening, he must make this to come to fruition. But yeah, I actually love the Maldives and I dream about it, look at it every day. I'm almost every day looking at the pictures, looking at the island. You know, I'm almost like I'm planning which route am I coming by, the north or the east? You know, or
sure.
the south,
Maldives,
you know.
That is powerful. The fact that you can see it,
yeah.
means it is just beyond as it planted. It's yeah,
definite,
it's on its way.
Definitely. Thank you so much. Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely. That's where I want to see myself. Any last words, ma'am, to your followers, listeners, and everyone else who may be, you know, listen to us and also following you? And more importantly, where can they follow you on social media?
I'm everywhere on social media. I think I'm mostly active on Facebook. I know
okay.
this is very 1980s, but I'm mostly active on Facebook.
Yes.
It's Naledi Mailula. Naledi
yeah.
Sipesihle Mailula on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter as well under the same Naledi Mailula and
yeah.
Instagram and all of that. And I generally just accept
yeah,
friend
yeah.
requests because you
yes.
never know, it could be a story. I'm
yes.
a journalist by nature.
Yeah.
and yeah. I'm easily accessible like that.
Yes.
But to round things off, I just wish everybody a blessed festive season
yes.
and may everyone, you know, just keep safe.
Yeah.
May they be protected under the hand of God during
yeah.
this time. And may we all come back in 2024 rejuvenated with fresh strength to get us through the year 2024. 2023 was a very, very trying year,
yeah.
but we made it. We are here by the grace of God, and we do not take that lightly. So
definitely.
Even next year, we do this whole life thing again.
We
so,
do
yeah,
it again.
That's it from me.
From one surrender to another, let's do this. We'll see you again next year and
yep.
wish you all the best. Thank you so much for taking your time this evening. Really appreciate it, and may God bless you.
Thank you. You too, Tapelo. Appreciate your
one.
Time.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.